Il Signore sia con voi.
E con il suo spirito.
Del Vangelo secondo Giovanni.
Gloria a te, o Signore.
Venne un uomo mandato da Dio, il suo nome era Giovanni. Egli viene come testimone per dare testimonianza alla luce, perché tutti credessero per mezzo di lui. Non era lui la luce, ma doveva dare testimonianza alla luce. Questa è la testimonianza di Giovanni quando i giudei gli inviarono da Gerusalemme sacerdoti e leviti a interrogarlo. Tu chi sei? Egli confessò e non negò. Confessò, io non sono il Cristo. Allora gli chiesero, chi sei dunque? Sei tu Elia? Non lo sono, disse. Sei tu il profeta? No, rispose. Gli dissero allora, chi sei? Perché possiamo dare una risposta a coloro che ci hanno mandato. Che cosa dici di te stesso? Rispose, io sono voce di uno che grida nel deserto, rendete diritta la via del Signore, come disse il profeta Isaia. Quelli che erano stati inviati venivano dai farisei. Essi lo interrogarono e gli dissero, perché dunque tu battesi se non sei il Cristo, né Elia, né il profeta? Giovanni rispose loro, io battezzo nell'acqua, in mezzo a voi sta uno che voi non conoscete, colui che viene dopo di me, a lui io non son degno di scelgare il laccio del sandalo. Questo avvenne in Betania, al di là del Giordano, dove Giovanni stava battezzando. Parola del Signore.
Lode a te, o Cristo.
As today is Gaudete Sunday, the third Sunday of Advent, I thought we'd spend just a few moments considering this morning the theme of joy. Because, I think it should be obvious why we should consider joy on a day when we're wearing rose vestments, right? So the context for this is going to be an article commentary I read about St. Thomas Aquinas' treatment of joy in the Summa. And surprisingly, it comes from a Protestant chaplain at a hospital at Duke University in North Carolina in the southern United States who works with a lot of suffering people. And the question he wanted to ask was, is it possible for them to experience joy when we live in a time when joy has been more or less reduced to simply an emotion? Happiness is probably the synonym you hear most often conflated with joy. But Aquinas would say that to simply reduce joy to emotional happiness is too reductionist, and it doesn't grasp its true depth. So just to say a few things about what St. Thomas says about joy, which I think can help deepen our own understanding, and not only because we interiorly want to experience the joy of the season, but also because as future instructors and teachers of theology and God's Word, we want to be able to kind of communicate these ideas on a broader, more global level. So this is what St. Thomas has to say. Now, it is true, joy is an affection of the soul. It's clearly linked with delight and pleasure in having possessed something. And it also tends towards becoming a fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul writes about in Galatians. Joy is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And so it's important to understand that to simply categorize joy as an emotion, or joy as a desire, or joy as a fruit is a little bit unfair to its treatment. So these things kind of begin to flow together in what most commentators would call Thomas's moral psychology. So this is my angelicum training coming to work. Father Francois would be, I'm sure, very happy. All right. So let us try to understand joy as these three things at the same time: affection, passion, and fruit of the Holy Spirit simultaneously. So first, Joy presupposes love, and it corresponds to it. So as love directs the entire corpus of Aquinas' moral psychology, this comes as no surprise. Love is always the linchpin. And one can love many things and many persons, but in its highest form, this love is directed to God. So true joy results from recognizing God's work in us, and it anticipates and reflects our participation in his life. Thomas calls joy love's rest. So once you are seeking someone in love, and then you possess them, you delight and take pleasure in and rest in having possessed them. The second is that joy is a unique desire fulfillment, which corresponds to our nature as rational beings. So it's a desire and it's fulfillment. But it's not hedonistic. And I think this is perhaps the fault of the modern age. We simply seek pleasure from the beloved in hedonism. But joy isn't about immediate gratification. Rather, it's deep and perduring. Nor is it instrumental, simply using the person we intend as a means for our own pleasure. But rather, joy is rooted in seeking the beloved for his own sake. And it's realized when we become aware of our higher selves as rational and loving beings. So even lower physical delights are only related to authentic joy when in them we experience a deeper sense of our fuller humanity. We're not just physically satiated, for example, by the juicy steak we just devoured. And yet time and time again, you'll see joy kind of reduced to this, that if my physical needs are satisfied, I experience joy. Well, that would only be true to the degree that that helps you understand your place in the universe as a rational and loving being made for something much greater than a juicy steak, but possession of eternal life. And then lastly, joy can be present when the beloved is not. So joy, Thomas says, is rooted in a love for God and a desire for him. And even if one cannot rest in possessing the person desired, even the anticipation of possessing them and being possessed by them, in this case God, can be a cause for joy. And this is perhaps where the suffering, as this chaplain discovered, experienced joy the most. Emotively, they're not feeling so great because they're dying of cancer on their deathbed, but because they desire God and things of God, and even though they have not yet realized it because they are not in heaven with him, even the anticipation of possessing and being possessed by God is already causal to joy. Lastly, we should just consider four enemies of joy. Because while it's important to know what joy is, it might be helpful also to know what it's not. And these are enemies of joy that can afflict any of us, and certainly our people. The first is acedia, or spiritual boredom. When things that are holy, or things of the gospel, or things of our faith, are things we tend to take for granted, and so they no longer capture our awe, or our wonder, or our desire. Then there's cynicism, which needs no introduction in the priesthood. There's also sorrow, which is the opposite of joy in Thomas's treatment of the emotions, the passions. And then finally, and perhaps the most pernicious, is ambivalence to others. When we kind of see right through people who are suffering without trying to enter at all into what they are experiencing and manifesting the heart of Christ. So let us be joyful on this Gaudete Sunday, understanding what joy is, much more profound than a simple emotive happiness, but rather love's rest, a desire for God and things of him. When he arrives at Christmas in less than 10 days, may our hearts be filled with joy as we possess him on Christmas morning. Sia lodato Gesù Cristo.